Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Good Morning Live. I am so glad that you are with me today. I know we got started a few minutes late today. My apologies, but you're here. I'm here. I'm glad that we can open up the Word of God today and let it change and transform our lives as it is designed to do. Well, we are continuing our series called No Turning Back. And so far, we've talked about waking up, right, spiritually. We talked about discerning the times. We've talked about the cost of following Jesus. And yesterday, we talked about that very important topic of spiritual warfare and what that looks like in the life of a believer. Well, today, I want to talk to you all about what it means for the world we live in, right? Like, what do we do in the world that we live in right now? Because once you wake up, once you understand the times, once you realize there is a cost, and once you understand that there is a spiritual battle, you have to answer this question. Are you ready for it? What is the church supposed to do, right? It's one thing to wake up. It's another thing to know the times. You can calculate the cost. You can understand spiritual warfare. But what are we supposed to do with all that? What are we supposed to do with a culture that's anti-Christ, anti-God? How are we supposed to navigate all of that in these times? Are we supposed to hide, retreat, isolate ourselves from everything that feels dark or difficult or confusing? Are we supposed to just survive quietly under a rock until Jesus comes? Or did Jesus call us to something more? So here's the hook today, right from the top. Jesus never called his people to survive quietly in a corner, right? And I know as soon as I say that, everybody's thinking of that movie, Nobody Puts Baby in a Corner, right? Jesus did not call his church to survive quietly in a corner. No, but he called us as salt and light. What does that mean? It means the church cannot hide. If we are following Jesus, if we believe the gospel, if we understand the times, if we are living with that no turning back in our spirits, right, then we cannot hide. Now, we don't become angry. We don't become political first, right? There's nothing wrong with being involved in politics. It's our God-given duty and right to stand and speak for the country that we live in. But it doesn't become first. It does not mean we become loud just for the sake of being loud. So shining in culture does not mean we confuse culture engagement with constant outrage. But it does mean that our faith was never meant to be invisible. So Jesus did not save us so that we could disappear, right? He saved us so our lives would point people to the Father. So let me summarize real quickly what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus tells his disciples that they are the salt of the earth. Then he says they are the light of the world. He says that a city on a hill cannot be hidden. He says nobody lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. You put it on the stand so it gives light to everyone in the house, right? Then Jesus says, let your light shine before people so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That is our main passage today. And I want to teach a little bit from this thought. The church cannot hide. The church cannot hide. So we see from that verse of scripture, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. That is a very simple picture, but it is powerful. Why? Salt does a few things. Number one, salt preserves. It flavors. It creates thirst. It affects whatever it touches. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, this is what you are in the world, not what you might be one day, not what you are when you have everything perfected and worked out, not what you are if you agree with culture or the culture agrees with you. No, but he says, you are the salt of the earth. That means believers in this world are supposed to have an effect on this world. So our presence matters. Our witness should matter. Our character should matter. Our love should matter. The way we raise families should matter. The way we speak should matter. The way we treat people matters. Salt that never leaves the shaker does not do much, right? It may be real salt. It may have all the properties of salt. But if it stays contained in the shaker, come on, somebody, it does not affect anything. I think that's the picture that we need to think about. It is possible to have real faith, but keep it contained or private or hidden. Keep it locked inside church services and Bible studies and Christian conversations. Right now, there's nothing wrong with gathering with believers. We need that. But we cannot only gather. Why? Because we are also not just called to gather, we are also sent. Jesus did not say, you are the salt of the church building, right? Like, did you ever, somebody play that little prank where you take the lid off the salt shaker and they pour it on? Been a victim and been the victimizer in that prank a few times in my life. But what happens is whatever food that gets dumped on is ruined. Why? Because salt is good, but when you have a collection of salt, right, that's not sent, it's overpowering. And sometimes churches fail. Sometimes churches forfeit their destiny. Sometimes churches don't fulfill the call and purpose of God to invade their cities and make an impact. Why? Because they are concentrated into a building and onto a plate, and they forget that the church is meant to be salt, not just in the building, but salt in the world. So what does that mean? It means our faith has to go with us into Monday, into the workplace, the neighborhood, our schools and families, right? Into the places where people are hurting and confused and searching and broken. So if the world is decaying, salt matters. If the world is dark, light matters. That brings us to the next thing that Jesus says. Jesus says, you are not just the salt of the earth, but you are the light of the world. And notice again, he doesn't say, you know, just try to become light. He says, you are light. Why? Because if you belong to Jesus, his life is in you. His truth is in you. His spirit is in you. His gospel has changed you. I always say this. I sometimes feel like if believers really understood the authority of the believer in the earth, if we, you know, you get that picture of Superman and, you know, he opens his shirt and there's a Superman, you know, shirt logo underneath. Like, they didn't realize that Superman was there the whole time, right? And sometimes I feel like believers, we don't understand that what we carry in us, what does scripture say? That the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells mightily on the inside of you, right? So we walk into, you know, a space and we're like all worried. Is there a demon over there? Is, you know, that person like me? You know, whatever. But what we don't realize is the life and power, the resurrection power of God, the answer to every problem in this world, the hope of all humanity dwells mightily on the inside. The Spirit of God dwells in us. And where we go, he goes. So when we walk into the grocery store, heaven walks into that grocery store. When we walk into the job, guess what? Heaven walks into the job, right? So we're not supposed to walk in a room and tell the temperature. We're supposed to walk in and change the temperature. Why? Because heaven is in us. If there's darkness in there, it has to flee. If there's oppression, it has to break. So your life is meant to shine. And listen, light doesn't have to scream to be light, right? Light does not have to be announced. Light does not wrestle with darkness. Light just shines. Simple. Light reveals, it guides. Light exposes what darkness hides. Light brings hope. Have you ever been in a dark room and somebody just turns on a small light? It changes everything. Darkness does not get to vote on it. Darkness does not have to agree with it. Darkness does not have to applaud it. When light comes in, darkness has to move. So this is what Jesus is telling his disciples and telling us that we are supposed to be. Not because we are great in ourselves, not because we are better than anyone else, not because we are arrogant or self-righteous, but because Jesus has put his light in us. And friends, that is why hiding does not make sense for the church. Jesus says, nobody lights a lamp and then covers it with a basket. Why? It would be ridiculous. Because the whole point of lighting the lamp is so the room can have light. So when believers hide their faith out of fear or shame or pressure or comfort or not wanting to be rejected or, whatever, something is wrong. And I know we think, well, you know, they don't want to hear that gospel stuff. The problem with that theology is you have the hope that they need. Like their bitterness, their anger, their resentment, their all of that is a front to the brokenness that's on the inside of them. That we talk about that God-sized hole that only he can fulfill. So it's like literally walking into a hospital and looking at somebody who is sick and having the answer, having the cure, having the antidote, and just say, well, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. What? You are not just doing a disservice to yourself, but you're doing a disservice to them to have the answer to why they keep chasing high after high or relationship after relationship or career moves or money or whatever they're trying to pursue to fulfill the void that will never be filled without Christ. And you know that, and we have the answer to that. So that's what Jesus says. Come on, you are salt, you are light, you are sent. The light was not given to be hidden, it was given to shine. So maybe today we need to ask ourselves, where have I been hiding? Maybe I've been hiding my faith at work. Have I hidden my convictions because, I don't know, I don't want to be misunderstood? Have I hidden my witness because I'm afraid that someone's going to reject me somewhere down the road? Am I not being compassionate because I'm too busy? Have I hidden my calling because I just don't feel qualified? Right? Am I cautious to pray with my family or even just by myself to bow my head and pray before a meal in a public restaurant? Because, well, it don't take all that. I don't have to put everything on display. And that's not what Jesus says. He says, let your light shine. Let your light shine. Not to draw attention to yourself, not to build your personal brand. He says, let your light shine so that people may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That is the goal. The goal is not that people would say, man, look how great they are, but look how good God is. Now, whenever we talk about engaging the world, we need to be very clear about something. Engaging the world, shining our light in the world, being salt in the world does not mean compromise. Engagement does not mean compromise, right? Jesus ate with sinners, but he did not become sinful. And this, man, you hear this all the time. People use the verse that, well, you know, Jesus sat with sinners to excuse their own sinful behavior, right? Like, yes, Jesus ate with sinners, but he did not become sinful. Jesus touched lepers, but he did not become unclean. He entered broken places, but he did not lose his holiness, right? And that is our model. We think, well, if I'm going to eat with sinners, I got to be like the sinners. That's not what Jesus did. As a matter of fact, he put his light so on display that they wanted something different. They were tired. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about Levi, you know, being called as the tax collector. And Jesus just looked at him and said, come and follow me. Like he identified that there was something so different about Jesus. Like he didn't need another sinner, another thief tax collector coming say, come follow me. Well, I don't need to follow somebody else who's just as broken as I am. No, what I need, what the world needs is something different. What the world needs is the way. The world needs the truth. Not just somebody just as broken as they are, right? So that's our motto. We can enter broken places and not lose our holiness. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. And so sometimes I get it, that tension can be hard. And so some Christians handle that tension by just saying, you know what, I'm just going to isolate. They think holiness means having no contact with people who do not believe like they believe. But Jesus did not pray that the Father would take his disciples out of the world. Think about that. He prayed the Father would keep them from the evil one. That means we are sent into the world, but while we're in the world, we are kept by God. So we don't compromise truth. We don't soften the gospel. We don't call evil good. We don't adjust scripture to fit the moment that we are in. But we also do not withdraw from people who need Jesus. Truth without love becomes harsh. Love without truth becomes compromise. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And that's, friends, what we need, grace and truth, conviction and compassion, holiness and mercy. So we don't engage the culture by becoming just like the culture. We don't engage the culture by hating the people that Jesus died to save. We engage as witnesses, as servants, as people who carry the gospel as salt, as light. You know, what's amazing sometimes is the modern church sometimes acts like we are the first generation to live in difficult times. We are not. God's people have always had to figure out what faithfulness looks like in complicated places. Joseph served God in Egypt. Daniel served God while he was in Babylon. Esther served God while she was in Persia. The early church followed Jesus under Roman pressure. Believers throughout history have had to live faithfully in times when following Jesus was costly, right? I mean, the majority of the disciples of Jesus were martyred. And I know Christians around the world today are martyred, but in America, you know, we think martyrdom is, you know, well, you know, they unfriended me on Facebook because I posted a scripture. And, you know, I just want to make people uncomfortable. I don't want to be known as that Jesus person. So, you know, that's a heavy cross to bear, right? So the question is not, can I be faithful in the world when the world around me is difficult? The answer is yes, by the grace of God. The answer is, what does faithfulness look like where God has placed me? See, Joseph, think about Joseph for a minute. He did not become Egyptian in his heart, but he served in Egypt with wisdom. Daniel did not bow to idols, but he still served the king with excellence. Esther did not choose the moment she was born into, but listen, she stepped into courage when it mattered. The early church did not have cultural power, but they had spiritual power. When the apostle was in prison, what did the early church do? They prayed, they preached, they served, they loved, they suffered, they stood, and the gospel kept moving. And that should encourage us. We don't need ideal conditions to be faithful and to serve God. Come on, you don't need, you know, a platform and a pulpit and a bunch of people around you that already believe the gospel. Can I tell you, the gospel, yes, the gospel to all of us every day has power in our lives. But you know when the gospel and the anointing is effective the most? Not when there's a congregation of believers and a choir and a band and a haze machine and a sound system. The gospel is most effective and most anointed when it is brought outside of the four walls of the church and brought into your workplace, your family member, right into the streets. Why? Because that's what the gospel was designed to do. When you think of the ministry of Jesus, you think of the early church. Yeah, Jesus taught in synagogues. Yes, they were breaking bread home to home, but most of the miracles, the healings, the signs, the wonders happened on the streets. Right, I'm trying to think in my head right now, if there was a miracle done in the synagogue, and I could be wrong, don't quote me on that, but I can't really think of one. Most of the signs and wonders and miracles happened in homes. You remember they ripped open the roof? It happened in the streets as Jesus was walking, the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus in a boat with his disciples. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? The power of the gospel was not made to be contained. It had been contained in the Old Testament into that Holy of Holies. And I think the modern church has so desired to have that way of life again, where God is confined into the four walls of a church service. But when Jesus died, that veil was ripped. And now the Holy Spirit was sent and available. So we don't need ideal conditions to be faithful, right? We don't just need to share the gospel and be a light to those who already agree with us, but we need conviction and courage. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. We need prayer. The church has never needed the world to be easy in order for the gospel to be powerful. Actually, in most times, whenever the church becomes oppressed, the gospel explodes. The gospel thrives in hard environments. The gospel works in dark places. Light was made for darkness. Salt was made for decay. So instead of asking, well, how do we escape this moment? Maybe we should ask, how do we shine in this moment? See, when people hear cultural engagement, they may think of big things: government, media, education, law, national conversations, right? And yes, believers should think about how the gospel shapes every part of life, politically, government, you know, all of that. But for most of us, cultural engagement begins much closer to home. It begins with everyday faithfulness. How do I treat my spouse? How do I raise my children? How do I work when nobody is watching? How do I speak about people I disagree with? How do I treat the cashier and the neighbor and the coworker, the difficult family member? How do I respond to the poor in my community? How do I tell truth when lying would be the easy way out? How do I forgive when bitterness feels justified? This is where salt and light start. Not with a platform, but with a life. See, you do not have to be famous to shine. You do not need a microphone to be salt. You do not need a big following to make a difference. You need faithfulness. A faithful parent matters. A faithful teacher matters. A faithful business owner matters. A faithful neighbor matters. A faithful church member matters. And this is where it gets real practical. Today, somebody around you may need encouragement. Somebody may need prayer, a meal. Somebody may need the gospel. Somebody might need a kind word today. Somebody might need to see what it looks like when a Christian lives with integrity and joy and courage and love. And I'm just here to remind you this morning, do not underestimate everyday faithfulness. Don't underestimate everyday faithfulness. Listen, this is why we do what we do. This is why we continue the ministry of Good Morning Live and the Pioneer Channel. Why? Because we believe the gospel is not meant to stay hidden. The word of God needs to go out. Encouragement needs to go out. Truth needs to go out. The message of Jesus needs to reach people everywhere they are. Some people will hear the gospel in a church service, and we thank God for that. Some people will hear it through a live stream or through a phone screen. Some will hear it through an app. Some will hear it while drinking coffee in the morning and getting ready for work and scrolling through Facebook and landing right here today. The method may change, but the mission does not. And we are here to shine the light of Jesus. So as I've been trying to be faithful to do, is every day give those who are viewing an opportunity to partnership with us. Why? Because partnership matters. When you become a Pioneer Media partner, you help us fulfill that mission and carry the gospel-centered teaching through the Pioneer Channel, through Good Morning Live, through every platform God opens to us. You help reach people who need hope, and your help matters. Your help encourages believers to be strengthened. You help us make sure the message does not stay hidden. So again, I've been trying to be faithful to present this every day, but if this ministry is strengthening you, would you consider partnering with us monthly? You can do that very easily. Go to ptnnow.com. Your support helps keep telling the story of Jesus with no turning back. So let me close with the words of Jesus. Let your light shine. It's not complicated, but it's powerful. Let your light shine today in your home. Let your light shine in your workplace. Let your light shine in your city, in your church. Let your light shine in your relationships. Let your light shine today, even if you're in a situation where it's not easy, even when it's costly. Let your light shine. Even when people don't agree with you. Not so people glorify you, so that they glorify your Father in heaven. Today is a reminder that, come on, the church cannot hide. The world is too dark. The need is too great. The gospel is too good. Jesus is too worthy. So be salt, be light, live faithful today, live boldly, tell the truth, serve people, don't compromise, don't turn back. And let me pray for us today. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for calling us salt and light. Thank you that you have placed us in this generation on purpose. We're not here by accident. Lord, forgive us for the times we have hidden our faith. Forgive us for the times we have confused comfort with wisdom. Forgive us for the times that we have withdrawn from people you have called us to reach. Help us shine with humility, courage, truth, with love. Make us faithful in everyday places. Make our homes bright, our churches bright. Let people see our good works and glorify you. Use us to preserve what is good. Use us to point people to Jesus. And for anyone watching today who has never surrendered to Christ, today is your day. Today is your day. Jesus died for your sins. He rose again. He is Lord, and he is calling you to follow him. So if that's you, you can be as sure for heaven as if you're already there by simply praying this prayer from your heart. Say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again. Forgive me. Make me new. I surrender my life to you. Teach me to follow you in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being with me today, Good Morning Live. Remember this, Jesus did not call his church to hide. He called us salt and light. Let your light shine. Live with courage, live with compassion, stand in truth, and follow Jesus with no. And remember, if this teaching encouraged you, consider becoming a monthly media partner with us at ptnnow.com. I love you. And remember, God loves you. He's not mad at you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
Good Morning Live is made possible by the prayers and generosity of faithful partners and friends like you. Thank you for helping us proclaim Jesus, encourage believers, and impact lives around the world. To learn more, visit ptnnow.com.